Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. As you can see, I'm not in the studio this time around. I'm sorry for the delay. We've been very, very busy. As you know, Veronica's got a fight, and that takes priority over everything. As you can see, I'm at GB Top Team. So this week's War Room is presented by GB Top Team, one of the best gyms in the world. If you're in the area, come and check this place out. The coaches down here are fantastic, and the rounds, the talent on the mat is second to none. Anyway, so this is the War Room for the UFC 300 main event. Jamal Hill against Alex Pereira, of course, a fascinating fight. Fascinating. One thing I will say before I crack on with the analysis, because this is up late, if you can share this, you can pass it on to anybody that watches War Room or anyone that might be interested, if you can pass it on. We're a little bit behind this week, so a lot of people that would normally view the War Room might miss it before the fights. So please do me a favor and try and get this circulated around for everybody. We will be back on schedule very, very soon. But as I said, fight camp takes priority. Right. Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill. Well, first of all, let's tailor the tape. So both of these guys are 6'4". Both of them have a 79-inch reach. I think that's interesting because when Alex Pereira came into the UFC, there was this... I mean, he's a terrifying individual, don't get me wrong. But at middleweight, he was massive. Compared to Sean Strickland, he looked huge. At light heavyweight, he's very, very normal. He's a very kind of average size. And this means that, you know, the intimidation factor that he may have had at middleweight might not transcend quite as well to light heavyweight, especially when you consider that the fights that he's had already at light heavyweight, we've seen some potential holes in his game. And I'm not saying that Jamal Hill's going to come out and try and wrestle and put Pereira on the floor and beat him up, etc., etc. But I do think that is an option here in this fight. And I do feel like Jamal Hill, given the fact that he came from basketball into mixed martial arts, he spent a longer time preparing his game for an MMA fight. Pereira, on the other hand, because he came over from kickboxing, he's been working a very specific skill set, which is kicks, punches, and knees, for a long period of time. Now he's crossed over to MMA, and he's now refining that technical skill, as well as adding what he needs to his wrestling and his ground game. But of course, there's still a lot of catching up to be done there. Now, the benefit is that he's got Glover Teixeira in his corner, in his camp. This also then layers on the complication and the interest around the fact that Alex was in Glover's corner when Jamal put an absolute beating on Glover Teixeira. There were a few times in that fight where I thought, if Jamal Hill just puts his foot on the gas here and throws 10 punches in the next 15 seconds, he's probably going to get the stoppage here. On the outside of the cage, you've got Alex Pereira, who's watching, witnessing this happen. And the reason why, I mean, of course, it's interesting from a revenge perspective, because Alex Pereira is going to want to get some payback for what Jamal Hill did to Glover Teixeira. However, there's something else that's worth considering. And this is worth considering when Glover Teixeira has taken Jamal Hill down and he uses butterfly hooks to create space and scramble back to his feet. Or if he's mounted and he's doing a backdoor escape and gets back in top position. These are all things that, from an Alex Pereira's perspective, sitting on the outside watching this, he's thinking to himself, well, I've been in that position. I know how difficult it is to get up off the floor with Glover Teixeira on top of me. So there's going to be a respect for what Jamal Hill was able to do to Glover Teixeira. The strikes that he landed, the volume of punches that he landed, as well as his ability to deal with the grappling of Glover Teixeira, right? Like, what was it, second round when Jamal Hill's opening up and landing loads of shots on Glover Teixeira, and you're thinking, right, this fight's going to be cold in a second. Then all of a sudden, Glover Teixeira scores the takedown. They're the situations that Glover Teixeira takes you down, takes you back, and chokes you out. He didn't do that to Jamal Hill. And that is a big credit to Jamal Hill, because most of the time, that's how Glover Teixeira is beating these guys. So the fact that Alex Pereira was on the outside, there's a dual benefit there. One, he's got the motivation to get that revenge. Two, he's going to have that admiration and that respect for what Jamal Hill was able to do against Glover Teixeira, knowing full well how difficult Glover Teixeira is to deal with on a daily basis on the mats. So that for me is going to educate a lot about the way that Alex Pereira is going to approach this. And of course, he's going to have to maintain his composure. He doesn't want to get in there and be aggressive and like really trying to put a beating on Jamal Hill early on. This is a 5-round fight. We know Jamal Hill can fight hard for 5 rounds. We know both of these guys have got stopping power in the later rounds as well as the early rounds. So this fight could go through several different phases in the process of the 25 minutes. Okay. Alex Pereira's record. So he's 9 wins and 2 losses. He's got 7 knockouts of those 9 wins. Jamal Hill is 12-1 with 1 no contest and 7 of those 12 wins by knockout. It's worth noting the 1 no contest, of course, that was a victory over Clidson Abreu, and that was a failed drug test for pot. So of course, you know, that was taken off his record. But for me, that was still a very impressive victory. And then the other one was the TKO loss, the arm against Paul Craig, which was incredible considering that it wasn't really a bad injury and he was back in competition 6 months later. So he's got 2 blemishes on his record, both of them a bit like John Jones. It's like, you know, it's circumstantial. The arm was dislocated. It was a beautiful attack by Paul Craig. But, you know, in that circumstance, and you could tell that Jamal Hill was going to try and fight out that position regardless. A tough, durable individual. Easy to underestimate. And this is where I feel like the striking might be a surprise for Alex Pereira in this fight. Because Pereira is very good at stalking his opponents. He's very good at walking people down, walking into their range, and then slipping and countering. Like we saw this against Jiří when he was under pressure. You know, he's very good at slipping and countering, slip and counter, cover, slip, counter. These chains of single shots that Pereira does, it gives him a lot of flexibility in the moment to be able to adapt his attack. It also means that every punch he throws has been considered because he's not throwing combinations because that's what's been preset in his central nervous system. He's throwing the strikes that he knows are going to be applicable because he's watching his opponent. On the other side, you've got Jamal Hill that does the very same thing. And for me, Jamal Hill is a very, very instinctive fighter. He's very good at looking at the opponent in front of him and seeing where the targets are, where the person's guard is, how they're breaking, how their posture's changing. And he's very good at flowing through his techniques to be able to land consistent shots. I mean, again, we look back at the Glover Teixeira fight. He threw that left head kick up there, cracked Glover Teixeira on the side of the head, and within a second, he'd thrown the same kick up again. It wasn't because he was excited because he just landed it once. It was because it was the right thing to do, to bolster that attack by going again. He's very, very good at finding holes and gaps in people's guard. And I don't think he's going to be too afraid to strike with Alex Pereira because, like I said, Pereira as a middleweight is huge and terrifying. As a light heavyweight, he's relatively normal sized. Both of these guys, 6'4", both with a 79-inch reach. So Jamal's not going to look at Alex Pereira as anything other than another opponent to deal with. He's not going to look at him and go, oh man, he's massive. Oh, you know, he hits so hard. Everybody in this weight class hits hard. The difference in this fight with Jamal Hill is that he can potentially put this fight on the floor and really expose that area of Alex Pereira's game, which is not yet bolstered enough for this level of competition. So if we think about their striking style, we've talked about Alex Pereira, how he likes to walk people down, and he's very reactive in the way that he slips and counters. That's very, very useful against most people. Like, he's fighting a Sean Strickland who doesn't really move his feet too well, and he kind of wanders himself forward. That's the ideal opponent. Someone like Jiří Prochazka, it took him a while to figure out. I mean, Jiří was able to take him down. Pereira looked a little labored when he's forced to grapple. I thought the same thing after the first round against Jan Błachowicz as well. I think he looks a bit labored because his energy systems have not yet adapted to that hard grappling over 5 minutes. And then to stand up and then go back to kickboxing, his arms are going to feel very, very different to how they would if he's just doing rounds of kickboxing like he was in Glory against Vakitov, etc. So for me, if I'm Jamal Hill, that is educating my approach to this. I'm not going to be afraid to strike with him because the way that Jamal Hill fights is not as easy for Alex Pereira to set up his counters. Like, Jamal Hill, he's predominantly a southpaw. He likes to hang out on the outside and he bounds into range very quickly. He comes in with that long right sweeping hook, which he caught Jimmy Crute with. We know he's got that power body kick. We know he's got a power head kick. But he's very good at bounding into range to land, then out again. In and out and in and out. And that makes it very difficult to pick a shot to counter. Because first of all, you've got to predict where the shot is heading as Jamal Hill's moving into range. Then you've got to figure out if your counter shot is the right thing to do, or do you need to cover this shot and deal with it afterwards. If Alex Pereira finds himself covering the shot and then trying to counter afterwards, Jamal's already going to be out of range. So Pereira really needs to take that space away from him as much as possible. Try and force him up against the fence where Jamal doesn't have that in and out movement where he can surprise Alex with his speed into range. Again, height and reach, both of these guys have got the same reach. So it's going to be about the footwork, who lands the punches. And Jamal Hill has got a very, very good ability to bounce in and out of range. Having said that, if Pereira starts to smash his lead leg, like he did against Prochazka, if he's able to damage that calf and take some of that movement away, then the rest of Alex Pereira's striking game really comes into play. Because damaging the lead leg will take away some of that movement. It'll take away the in and out bound. It doesn't matter whether he lands it on the lead leg of a southpaw on the right leg, or whether he lands it on the lead leg of an orthodox fighter on the left leg. It's always going to affect Jamal's movement because he needs both of his feet to move himself in and out of range. So if one of those legs is compromised, as he's moving forward and planting his weight on it, he's not going to be able to push back off as he normally would to get himself out of range. Same thing in the opposite stance if he's orthodox. If he springs into range off his back leg, he's not going to be able to move quite as quickly off his damaged leg if he's put the damaged leg behind him. So a leg attack is going to be an obvious game plan for Alex Pereira. Taking away that lead leg, no matter which stance Jamal Hill is in, is going to make it easier for Alex Pereira to get to him with everything else. Now, of course, you know, both of these guys hit hard. They've both got dangerous strikes and a variety of dangerous strikes. But it's much, much easier to deal with someone. If you're an Alex Pereira slip counter striker, you want that person to really be standing on the spot. So it's easier to slip and counter and hit them with your counter shots. If you slip in and counter in and the person's already moved out of range, then you're going to be extending yourself when you don't need to. And this is where Jamal Hill can step in and pop with that right hook or pop with that straight left and move back out of range and then see Alex Pereira express a technique and then catch him with the kick on the recoil. Like, the style of Jamal Hill is going to take some time for Alex Pereira to figure out. I felt like he was uncomfortable at times with Prochazka, given the fact that Prochazka doesn't move like a glory kickboxer. You know, like, go back to the Artem Vakhitov fights that Pereira had. That is the ideal opponent. Someone that double guards, stands relatively still, doesn't really move a great deal. It allows Alex Pereira to beat him up, and then when shots come in his direction, that's when he can start slipping and countering. If someone's constantly in and out of range and there's the threat of a takedown, that will then force him to hold back on his techniques a little bit and consider what he might potentially run into if he does start to open up. When it comes to the grappling, so both of them have got decent takedown offense. Alex Pereira's got 70% takedown offense. Jamal Hill's got 73% takedown offense. What I find interesting about this is that nine times Alex Pereira has been taken down. Four of the five opponents that have taken him down have taken him down in the first round. So coming out and working on a takedown in the first round, especially if you can catch Pereira cold when they're both dry, it might be easier for Jamal Hill to put him on the floor. He might not be able to hold him down, but I feel like he might. But even if he can't hold him down, at least Pereira's got it in his mind that this might be a wrestling match as well. That's going to start to mess with his energy systems, and he's going to start to feel like, well, I've used a lot of static strength to keep this fight on the feet, and now I don't quite have the same pop in my punches. These are all things for Jamal Hill to consider. I also think he could be very effective with close range striking, dirty boxing, hanging on people's heads in the clinch, and hanging on Alex Pereira's head in the clinch and beating him up with short range strikes, knees to the body. Very, very effective with all of those kind of things. These are all things that Alex Pereira, for my money, has got to overcome in that first round, right? He has to defend the takedowns. He has to keep this fight on the feet. He also has to start then taking away that movement of Jamal Hill in order to land his counter strikes. If he allows Jamal Hill just to move and to create his own space and to pick his own shots and choose when to engage, this is when Pereira is going to find himself waiting too long and not opening up with his striking ability. When it hits the ground, I feel like I've seen enough out of Jamal Hill's game to know that he's got good instincts and he's got well-trained jiu-jitsu skills. So if it does hit the ground, first of all, he's going to be able to escape out of bad positions. I don't expect Alex Pereira to hold him down, even if Pereira is able to take him down. Second of all, if Jamal Hill's in a top position, because he's so good at scrambling back to his feet, he's very good with his butterfly hooks, he's very good at creating space, he's also going to be very good at controlling from that top position. We saw him have good effect with his ground and pound against Glover Teixeira. We've seen him use his ground and pound in the past against opponents. just putting that doubt in Alex Pereira's mind that there might be wrestling in this fight, especially if he does it from the first round, is going to allow Jamal Hill to then express himself a bit easier for the rest of the fight, because he can then move around and sting a little bit. And if he feels like he's getting under pressure, he can either threaten the level change or actually threaten a takedown and force Alex Pereira back into a defensive shell. What else? Hang on, let me go through my notes. So the one main thing that Alex Pereira has got to watch out for in this fight, for me, is the right hand of Jamal Hill. It doesn't matter whether he's standing orthodox, think back to the Jimmy Crute fight where he caught him with that beautiful check right hook, or the Johnny Walker fight where he caught him with that overhand right, caught him on the head and stiffed him. Like, the right hand, left leg of Jamal Hill really are the two main weapons that Pereira's got to watch out for. But those coupled with his in and out movement and with the threat of a takedown, it further layers the complication that Alex Pereira's got to deal with. If I'm on the other side, if I'm Alex Pereira, well, we talked about taking footwork away. We talked about taking that movement away by damaging the lead leg. Being physically imposing is a big part of Alex Pereira's game, and it worked very well at middleweight. I don't know if it's going to work very well at light heavyweight. And I certainly feel, because we've seen Pereira on the floor for a good 5 minutes in his last couple of fights, I feel like that... potentially that aura has been lost a little bit. He's in amongst it with these light heavyweights because they're all a similar size to him. He's not going to be able to bully quite as much as he did at middleweight. So therefore, I feel like when they do tangle up, Jamal Hill's a much bigger opponent for him than Israel Adesanya, for example. In the clinch, Jamal Hill's going to be able to force him to work. So Alex Pereira's got to be a bit more tactical about where and how he engages. I don't doubt for a second that he's striking power transitions to this weight class. We know it does. I feel like Alex Pereira's, I mean, he's got naturally very heavy hands as well. He's got great technique. If he can damage the lead leg of Jamal Hill and force him onto some of those punches, I absolutely expect Alex Pereira to be able to, you know, dominate that striking range. But he has to get through several different barriers first, as we've talked about. He has to take away the footwork. He has to nullify the wrestling, potentially, that Jamal Hill's going to put on him. And then if he does find himself at a close range, Jamal Hill using that single necktie and some elbows, potentially, because, you know, of course, we've seen Pereira use a few elbows. We saw him use them against Jiří during the finishing sequence. But elbows are not a part of the skill set for Glory kickboxers. So that is an area where Jamal Hill could potentially make Alex Pereira feel uncomfortable in a striking range. That single necktie and those knees to the body that he lands in his fights, he landed against Glover Teixeira, couple that with some elbows, it could potentially open up his opponent. It can really, you know, give Alex Pereira a lot of things to think about. Okay. The one thing I will say, though, and we've got to remember that Jamal Hill, he had the light heavyweight belt. He vacated it because he ruptured his Achilles tendon. He was a basketball player. This is why I feel like he's got good footwork, but he ruptured his Achilles playing a basketball game. So does that mean that his footwork has changed in any way? Is his movement compromised given the fact that he had that injury? That is something that we're not going to know until the fight starts. Something that might be on Jamal's mind if he's, you know, if he's not fully rehabbed, and I'm sure he has, you know, he knows he's dealing with someone very, very dangerous here. I'm sure he feels supremely conditioned. But there is always that question of, is the movement going to be the same now that Achilles is ruptured? It's a big injury, that, and it takes some time to come back from. And it certainly will take some time to reassure his confidence that his feet are underneath him and he's moving just as well as he could before. The ace card from Alex Pereira could potentially be a guillotine. We saw him threaten Jan Błachowicz with it. We saw him threaten Jiří Prochazka with it. There's definitely an opportunity for him here to attack that guillotine. It might alleviate a wrestling attempt from Jamal Hill. If Jamal's in on his legs up against the fence, if Pereira is able to squeeze on that guillotine for a moment and threaten it, he might be able to get himself free of that takedown attempt. That also might be why he looked tired coming out of the grappling exchanges against Jan and against Jiří. Like, is he going to get the guillotine? Does he want to use it to threaten just so he can defend the takedown? Does he want to burn his arms out squeezing on a neck when he doesn't have that submission? This is a question that he's got to answer in his own mind in this scenario. But if Jamal Hill does find his head in a bad position, he can expect Alex Pereira to try and work that guillotine. And you know this guy's got a squeeze on him. He's got long arms on him as well. So if he does get clamped on, you know, there's no reason why a guillotine couldn't work. It's just a lot of energy to expend if it doesn't work, if that makes sense. the calf kick is going to be a big one for Pereira. The damage that he can do to the lead leg is going to be a real key. He has to be very cautious, though, because he does leave his head on the center line when he's throwing those kicks. And given the fact that both these guys the same height, the same reach, I expect Jamal Hill to be able to get to him like middleweights potentially couldn't in these circumstances. So although that lead calf kick, although that calf kick to the lead leg is very, very damaging, there is also a vulnerability there. So Alex has got to be cautious at how he's setting this up. I honestly think this is a fascinating fight. I feel like Jamal Hill's volume might be a key in this one, especially if he is able to mix in some wrestling, some grappling exchanges. Alex Pereira does tend to pick his shots a little bit more, but he is more accurate. Let's just have a quick look at the striking statistics. The two I've picked out. So strikes landed per minute, you've got 5 strikes landed per minute for Alex Pereira. You've got 7.31 for Jamal Hill. But striking accuracy, 54% for Jamal Hill, 62% for Alex Pereira. So clearly he's the more accurate out of the two, but that's because he throws less, and he's more certain when he does throw that it's going to land. I don't mind volume, though. I don't mind some strikes being thrown to open up opportunities for others. Like if Jamal Hill hits a sweeping right hook, followed by a left cross, and then throws his kick afterwards, the kick might be the only one that lands, but the two punches may have opened up the opportunity for that kick to land. So it's not the end of the world if your striking accuracy is not on point. If you throw in strikes to open up opportunities to land other things, that can be why your striking output is higher, but your striking accuracy is lower. Alex Pereira on the other side, as I said, 62% striking accuracy, very good at being in the pocket and slipping and countering. Slip counters, cover counter, beautiful work on the inside, but he has to get into that range, and the challenge is negating the footwork of Jamal Hill and then not getting too close and then dealing with a wrestling, a grappling exchange. Just one thing I wanted to mention about Jamal Hill. His takedown offense is fantastic. It really is. Like, he has been taken down. It's 73% takedown offense. But if we look at his fights, he's only been taken down by 3 opponents. Darko Stojcic took him down 6 out of 9 times. Thiago Santos took him down 6 out of 20 times. Glover took him down 2 out of 17 times. So although, yes, he has been taken down, like I said, he's got good takedown offense. He's defended the vast majority of these takedowns. And even when I have seen him hit the floor, his butterfly hooks to create space is very, very useful. And if he does get into really bad positions like he was mounted against Glover, that backdoor escape, wrestles to top position, that could really get him out of some bad situations in this fight. I really am fascinated by this one. I think it's a far more clear-cut approach for Alex Pereira. The challenge for Alex is to control himself and not feel like he wants to murder Jamal Hill, because he was sitting on the outside of the cage for 25 minutes watching Glover Teixeira get put through the ringer. Like, I've been in that situation before, and what I wanted to do before anything else was to fight the guy that had just beaten up my teammate. That is an instinct of a fighter in a corner. And I know that Pereira has been living in that moment for this whole training camp. He feels like there's revenge to be had. He feels like there's payback for Glover Teixeira to be had, because Glover's invested so much time in Pereira. There's a lot of reason why Alex Pereira wants to get in there and get one back on Jamal Hill. But he can't be reckless with it. He's a very, very good striker. But even the best of strikers, when they get reckless, they get open and they get countered. And Jamal Hill is a very dangerous striker in his own right. Just because he doesn't have that 33-7 kickboxing record with 21 knockouts, it doesn't mean that his striking won't be effective in this fight. A good friend of mine, who is also an excellent judge, said something to me the other day, and it stuck in my mind, because I have a tendency sometimes, and I'm sure you guys will notice this from my analysis, I have a tendency sometimes to gravitate towards the fighter that's more technically refined. I like the art of the martial arts. But this friend of mine, he said to me, well, when I'm judging, I'm not judging based on the level of their handwriting skill. It's based on purely on what they've written. And it stuck in my mind, and I've been thinking about it. I've been kicking it around, and really, it doesn't matter how the strike lands. It doesn't matter if it's the most beautiful technique. If it works, it works. And Jamal Hill, although he might not be quite as refined as Alex Pereira in these striking ranges, it doesn't mean that the strikes that he throws won't be effective, because There's a clear instinct in Jamal Hill's striking ability, and I feel like the moments where you're up against Alex Pereira, if you throw just a combination without thinking about it, he's going to counter you. If you throw one punch without thinking why you're throwing that punch, he's going to counter you. Jamal Hill has quite a cerebral output. He's got quite a cerebral conversation going on in his head. He sets up these strikes very well. And when he has someone on the back foot and they start to fall away, start to break down, he's very, very good at chasing them and keeping that pressure on them. Conditioning for 25 minutes is not a doubt for Jamal Hill. I do feel like he can pressure Alex Pereira's conditioning if he forces him to wrestle. But if he stands in the pocket and trades with Alex Pereira, I don't know as many people can deal with that. He's a lethal individual, and he's got a lot of striking experience against a lot of very, very high-level fighters. Just because he might struggle to figure Jamal Hill out in the early rounds, it doesn't mean he won't get to him eventually, as with Jiří Procházka. This is why I think a very mixed martial arts skills game from Jamal Hill will serve him well in this fight, because the more he stands in kickboxers, the more he's playing into the hands of his opponent, and we know how dangerous Alex Pereira is. All right, I'll leave it there. I can't wait to watch this one. Tomorrow I'm going to record the BMF breakdown as well, so that one will be up before the weekend. I apologize for the delay on these. I appreciate you guys' patience. I appreciate GB Top Team for letting me set up on the mats and record this for you guys. Please share, please like, please follow, please subscribe, whatever we need to do on YouTube to keep growing and moving forward. I appreciate you all. UFC 300 is upon us. Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.